From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, investigator Lee Frank joins us in search of the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, and Oliver. Yes, Oliver. By the way, happy birthday to the creator of Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell. Happy birthday, Art. Enjoy it. Well, you know, a story we have talked about for years, and a lot of people didn't think much about it, but here it goes. Concerns now about fluoridation are quickly surfacing as the National Kidney Foundation withdrew its support of the chemical additive. At the same time, the largest association of water professionals in the world was warned not to destroy evidence that may be required in legal actions filed by individuals harmed by drinking fluoridated water, which we've probably have been doing for years. Following reports of the National Kidney Foundation's acknowledgement that patients with kidney disease should be notified of the potential risk to their health from drinking fluoridated water, the American Water Works Association has been given notice that it must not eliminate or tamper with documents or recordings indicating that lawsuits could be filed in the near future. A number of alternative medical practitioners have come on this program, and they have said to take fluoride out of drinking water. Maybe this is just the beginning. The Veterans Affairs Department did not adequately warn veterans, some of whom suffered from combat-related psychological disorders, who then participated in an anti-smoking study that involved a medication that can induce suicidal tendencies. A joint report by the Washington Times and ABC News was critical of the study and detailed how one returning soldier, Maryland resident James Elliott, who participated in the study, might have averted a violent arrest had he known the side effects of the anti-smoking drug Chiantix. The Times reported that nearly 1,000 veterans were enrolled in a study of various anti-smoking drugs. 143 of them were prescribed this drug, which can cause psychotic episodes in some patients and induce suicidal feelings. In a moment, Nurse Joyce Riley joins us to talk about this study and some other issues in just a second on Coast to Coast AM. Israel and the militant group Hamas have agreed to end months of bitter clashes with a six-month truce starting on Thursday. A Hamas official said he was confident that all military groups in the Gaza area would abide by the agreement brokered by Egypt. Israeli officials said they're looking to see if this is indeed a serious agreement. Police may have ignored a warning years ago that a woman with five dead spouses was trying to hire a hitman to kill one of them. Authorities have charged a 76-year-old Betty Newmar with one count of solicitation of murder in the January 1986 death of Harold Gentry. Gentry's brother had begged investigators for two decades to take another look at the case. Newmar has been married five times since the 1950s, but each marriage ended with the death of her husband. Investigators want authorities elsewhere to look into those deaths. A bizarre story in Canada. A severed human foot was found washed up on an island on the western coast of Canada this week. This is the fifth detached foot found in the area in the past 11 months. The severed left foot, which was in a shoe, was taken to a coroner for DNA tests. The other shoes, the other feet that were found were right feet. There's something very gruesome going on there, maybe a serial killer. A levee on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River broke Tuesday in a region already battered for days by severe flooding. The breach happened just to cross the river from Burlington, Iowa. Police subsequently shut down a bridge 6 miles to the south. The federal government had predicted that a total of 27 levees could potentially overflow along the river if the weather forecast is on the mark and a massive sandbagging effort fails to raise the level of those levees. The breached levee meant now 26 more that could burst. Edgar Cayce, the late great American prophet, once said about major earth changes that the earth will be broken up in the western portion of America, the greater portion of Japan too, must go into the sea, and the upper portion of Europe will be changed as in the twinkling of an eye. Edgar Cayce said this in 1934. Russian Air Force planes dropped a 55-pound sack of cement on a suburban Moscow home last week while seeding clouds to prevent rain from spoiling a holiday. A pack of cement used in creating good weather in the capital region failed to pulverize completely at high altitude and fell on the roof of a house, making a hole about 3 feet wide in it. Ahead of major public holidays, the Russian Air Force often dispatches up to 12 cargo planes carrying loads of silver iodide, liquid nitrogen, and cement powder to seed clouds above Moscow and empty the skies of moisture. And they say that there is no weather manipulation going on. In the year since Al Gore took steps to make his home more energy efficient, the former vice president's home energy use surged more than 10%, according to the Tennessee Center for Policy Research. In the past year, Mr. Gore's home burned through 213,210 kilowatt hours of electricity, enough to power 232 average American households for 1 month. In Terre Haute, Indiana, a girl whose lemonade stand was robbed of $17.50 chased the suspect into a nearby home and called police, who spent nearly an hour trying to coax the man into surrendering. He finally did. She just went after the man when he took the money. Tough person. And what's in a kiss? That's what a Hicksville, New York mother would like to know after her young daughter's kiss left her with hearing loss. Have you ever been kissed in the ear, by the way, when it goes like that? That's loud, isn't it? Well, when her daughter, who is now six, kissed her ear, it wasn't the sound that damaged her hearing. It was the suction force which displaced the eardrum and paralyzed the trio of bones. The incident happened 2 years ago, but will be the subject now of an upcoming medical journal report which outlines the kiss of death. Bosses at a school for dairy farmers in Austria say a chart-topping monk's chant has turned their cheese into a prize winner. I kid you not. The chant, this one, Music of Paradise album, which reached the top 10 in Britain, is played over and over again to 2.5 tons of cheese as it matures in cellars at the school there. They say the cheese matures with the help of microorganisms which feel the vibes and apparently do a better job. On the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, a Chinese company has developed a prototype flying saucer that can hover in the air and be controlled remotely. The aircraft is 4 feet in diameter. It's able to take off and land vertically and hover at an altitude of up to 1,000 yards. The unmanned disc is driven by a propeller. It can be controlled remotely. Its top speed is 50 miles an hour. Oscar-winning special effects expert Stan Winston, you don't know his name, but you know his work. He created the creatures in films including Aliens and Jurassic Park. He's died at the age of 62. Winston, who was also making the robots in Terminator, died at his home in California. He had been battling a plasma cell cancer for 7 years. And Sacha Baron Cohen's Bruno is ready for summer heat. Universal will release the film May 15th of 2009. Like Borat, the title character of the 2006 box office hit, Bruno is one of a trio of characters created and played by Cohen. As Bruno, Cohen pretends to be a flamboyant fashion and celebrity journalist from Austria who interviews unwitting members of the public who believe Bruno is a real person. 20th Century Fox's Borat was a box office hit, grossing $128.5 million domestically in its early November release. That's a nice. I'm proud to call her our friend, Joyce Riley, GulfWarVets.com. She also does a show with her husband, David Von Kleiss, powerhour.com, and we'll give you a little bit more information about that in a second. Joyce is with us for this entire hour to react not only to the story about the veterans participating in a VA drug study who weren't given the warning that this drug could be bad, some other issues as well. Hey, Joyce, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Well, here we go again. Another study, troops being used, and they're not warned properly. Now, they do say here, a spokesperson for the White House says this is irresponsible reporting on behalf of ABC News and the Washington Times. I don't think so. I think this is another case where they just didn't tell the veterans the dangers of this study.
Well, when we look at this, we have to ask the question, what is the part that surprises us the most? Number one, that they're experimenting on our troops without their consent, or that they're using a drug that causes suicidal or homicidal ideations, because both have been done since the first Gulf War. And what we're looking at here, George, is really the use of chemicals to change treatment, to change or alter behavior of our military. We're looking at the, if you would permit me to say, the sickest military we have ever seen coming out of a war. And it's not just physical problems, it's mental problems and it's neurological. It's everything combined into what they want to try and eliminate by the use of chemicals. So they begin, of course, using Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, Paxil, Seroquel, Seraphim, Chantix, the drug that you mentioned a few minutes ago, to change and alter behavior with smoking. But all of these drugs seem to have the same thing in common. They all cause homicidal or suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? Why is this drive to try and, if you will, kill our military? And I'm sorry to say that, but if you know that it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it acts like a duck, it's not going to be a mole. I mean, it is not going to be something that we would be surprised at in the behavior as it happens. And what we're seeing right now is so bizarre. We are medicating our military to the tune of, some people say, at least 50% of our troops are getting SSRI drugs or antidepressant drugs.
Who has turned them into guinea pigs, Joyce? I mean, what right do they have to use them this way?
But, George, they haven't turned them into guinea pigs. They've always been guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Since the advent of the military, back in, back in 1950, 1940, when the atomic veterans were used to stand in front of the bombs and mm-hmm. told to look away at the time that the bomb blows up, but then you'll be okay. And then they brushed them off with brooms to make them feel as though that they were going to be all right after the nuclear explosion. From that point on, to all the medication trials that have been used, the medication experiments, under the guise of offensive or defensive weapons production or creation or protection for our country, we've always used the idea, well, we need to protect our people from the bad guys. Well, maybe, maybe not. But you don't put 300,000 people in the way of a bomb to look at it and then be exposed to this nuclear radiation and then say, oh, gee, we don't know why you've all got leukemia. We see no evidence to prove that it has anything to do with radiation.
And listen to this line, Joyce. When the FDA issued a warning regarding possible side effects of suicidal feelings with this drug, it took the VA 3 months to alert patients already enrolled in the study. 3 months it took them after the FDA had already given the warning.
This is by design. Because anybody who's been involved in the medical profession, if you have a warning, an alert,
it's done.
Then you automatically say, halt, stop it. Just like with the fluoride in dialysis, water in dialysis. They had alerts, warnings, when they found out that it was getting through certain types of filters. You stop immediately. Not so with the VA. You see, the VA hospital has been utilized as an experimental background, if you will, for our military. That's how they continue all of these experiments, is through the VA. Otherwise, they would have an HMO program for the people that have been in the military, and they would send them out on some type of a paid program that we all attend. But not so. They have their own special one to continue these experiments. So what we're doing is we're putting our people in the face of these experiments. And I have to ask the question, is this to cover some of the other problems that they have? In other words, they're allowing them to be in the Chantix program, which is allegedly to stop smoking, and it does help some people, supposedly. Is that because we don't want people to know just how really devastated they have been psychologically from the war, and they can blame it on
Good point.
Because we've got depleted uranium, which does cause neurological change. 40 to 50% of our people are on these SSRI drugs or antidepressants. So you put somebody on a drug that makes you possibly want to kill someone else or yourself, and you send them out into battle. That's just not very smart. All of these questions are unanswered, and it just makes no sense to the average person.
Well, I'm so glad you're out there as a watchdog for the veterans, Joyce, because nobody else is. They really aren't. You've been pounding away at this for years, both when we started talking to each other back in my days in St. Louis about the Gulf War syndrome that nobody listened to, and finally everybody now realizes that indeed it is a problem and a serious one. We keep talking about the day I was at a benefit for the Toys for Tots, you know, the little Marines toy thing back in St. Louis, and a vet came up to me and he said, please tell Joyce Riley that I love her and I'm trying. And he came back from the Gulf. He could barely walk up to me, Joyce. He could barely walk up to me. And he said, George, before I went to Iraq, and this is in the first Gulf War, he said, I was as fit as anybody here. And he said, something happened to me, and I don't know what it is, but nobody listens to me except Joyce Riley. And you're the only one out there.
Well, that's very kind. I think there are other people out there, and there are people that do care. A lot of people do care. But, you know, as a result of this, I got named a domestic terrorist in the Southern Poverty Law Center document that was sent out to 9,000 law enforcement people, saying that I was trying to make people think that the government was poisoning our military. And, you know, as a result of that, I was in a large town. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to implicate the FBI member that was there. But he called me up. He knew I was going to be speaking in the town. And he said, can I come and see what you do? Because you have been, as you know, named a domestic terrorist, basically referred to as a domestic terrorist in some of the literature put out by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I said, certainly, come over and see what I'm doing. I was doing a meeting that day, and I had a booth there where I was giving away documents. He came to the meeting, and he had on a ball cap, and he looked like everybody else there. And this guy came in who was a Vietnam veteran, and he saw me across the room, and he said, are you Joyce Riley? And I said, yes. And he began to cry. And he said, I just wish you would have been there when we came back from Vietnam. And then another guy came in, a Gulf War veteran. He said, my daughter's been born deformed. Where do I go? What do I do? And I told him, and I gave him some documents to show what was going on, and I gave him some videos that we've been giving away. And you know, the FBI agent came over to me with tears in his eyes. And after a little while, he said, is this what you do? And I said, yeah, that's what I do all the time. Yeah. I answer their questions. And, you know, I got stopped by a highway patrolman in the state that I was in because I had Gulf War veteran sign on my car door, the Gulf War Veterans Association. And he told me, he said, ma'am, I could get fired for what I'm going to do. I just stopped you for no reason. And I was scared. I didn't know why.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he said, ma'am, I'm stopping you because I have a daughter deformed with Gulf War illness, and I need to know if her hearing loss is because of the Gulf War illness. Can you help me? And he said, I'm risking my job right now just to get some information. That's what we've put these people into. That's what we've done to these people, because we're telling them they have PTSD. There's something wrong with you, and yet we're not treating it.
How long, Joyce, how long have we been saying, take the fluoride out of drinking water? Take it out. It's not going to really do what it has to do for our teeth. Take it out. And now we get the National Kidney Foundation talking about how it's not good, and it's growing, and it's going to grow, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And the same thing with vaccines. How long have we been saying take the mercury out of vaccines?
Yep.
There are people that need to spend the rest of their natural lives in prison for what they have done, because this has been by design, intentional. There are people that benefit financially from what they're doing. I don't care if it's the military. I don't care if it's the pharmaceutical companies or the fluoride companies, whatever it is. Look at the depleted uranium we're using right now in Iraq. We've got 2 million people that are going to be coming back here unable to control their tempers with damage to their neurological systems. I just returned from a visit to a veteran who's in prison. I'm going around now visiting them and videoing them when their attorneys allow me to do so.
What's he in prison for? What did he do?
I'm sorry?
Did you say he was in prison?
Yes.
What did he do? What happened to him?
He killed his family.
Oh, my God.
And in such an atrocious way, I really don't want to say right now how he did it, because it is awful. People don't need to hear this. But he didn't even know what he was doing. He still does not know that he did it. And these people are then calling 911 and saying, my family is dead here, and I'm the only one here. Could I have done it? That is not what a murderer does. These poor guys have never so much as spit on the sidewalk before. And I videoed this man for 3 hours with his attorney there. This man had no concept of what had happened to him.
Hey, Joyce, let's open up the phone lines when we come right back. We're going to take this quick break. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment, we'll take the phone calls with Joyce Riley right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, researcher Lee Frank joins us. We'll talk about the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, yes, and the hybrid Oliver. Should be a great program, a classic. But next up, Joyce Riley in your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Joyce, what's happening with David and the Power Hour?
Well, I'll tell you, we are exposing more and more of the issues that need to be exposed in this country, and doing so in such a way that hopefully people are entertained by doing so. As you know, he's quite the comedic guy at times.
When he wants to be.
Yes.
He is. And how can people find you?
They can find us at thepowerhour.com or at beyondtreason.com. And by the way, we are giving away those documentaries at no charge to anybody who's been in the military. So I'd like to give a documentary called Beyond Treason regarding the experiments done on the military without any charge to them at all.
Very good. Thanks, Joyce. Let's take some phone calls. We'll go to our West of the Rockies line. We've got you, Jay, in California. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Hi, George. And hi. Joyce, I wanted to ask you about autoimmune suppressant drugs such as Enbrel and Humira. You know, what are their effects? And, you know, right now I'm taking chemotherapy, and I was just curious.
Well, that's a medical issue. Unfortunately, I can't speak. I'm not a physician, and I really don't deal in those drugs. But I appreciate the question, though. There are a number of experimental drugs that are being used by the U.S. government on the military, but that's not one that I'm familiar. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but not as far as a military experiment.
What do you recommend for people who do need information like this, Joyce? Of course, you're not qualified to answer this specific question. Where can they go?
Well, I would say that if anybody wants to learn about the particular drug that they're taking, go into the internet. I mean, that's where all the information is right now. Look at VA, you know, put in a search engine VA and the drug or whatever experiments that are they believe are going on regarding that, and see the history of what's gone on. I mean, you can go all the way back to the Gersel River Project in Alaska where they were experimenting on people, and simply do it through the internet, because we put a lot of these documents up on the internet for people to see.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line. Ryan in Montana, you're on the air with us. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, I was curious. I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer this question, but I was wondering about antibiotic protocol for Gulf War illness and how much success people have had with that type of therapy.
Well, I can tell you from my own personal experience, because I did undergo the doxycycline treatment. It is quite lengthy. And doxycycline is very effective for Gulf War illness in many people. There's a lot of good information at GulfWarVets.com. If you go into that website, you'll find a number of the trials that have been done, and the protocol is there by Dr. Garth Nicholson that he developed for those of us that were suffering from Gulf War illness.
Great, thank you.
Okay, what is the government saying about the Gulf War syndrome?
We need to do more research.
Still.
Just like they are about Agent Orange. They're still trying to cover for themselves because so many of the people have died. I
Was
mean, we've
16
got now,
years now? 16
about 500,000 out of the 700,000 that are either sick, that have died, or on permanent disability from a war that lasted 100 hours and killed only 140 people during the war, and half of those were friendly fire. But if you go into the statistics at the VA or at the Department of Defense, you'll find that the majority of Gulf War veterans are now sick from the first Gulf War. And that's not to mention what's happened with Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom. They are coming back in huge numbers and getting out of the military right now and going to the VA and attempting to get help from them because they are sick with depleted uranium poisoning. And I do mean depleted uranium poisoning.
Let's go to California. Claudia, you're on the line with us. Hey, Claudia.
Hi. Joyce, I'm so glad you're on. I'm a former Canadian nurse. Now I'm a metabolic nutritional consultant.
Ah, okay.
I specialize in getting people off chemicals, painkillers, psych drugs, line them up with the right doctor.
Good for you.
Wonderful.
One of my colleagues was a lady who was in the Desert Storm depleted uranium, all kinds of things, heavy metals, have been trying for years chelation. It's left her disabilitated in that she can't keep her speech and what she wants to say coordinated with the mind, mouth, etc. Extremely brilliant woman. She ended up doing the detox program that is being used for the New York rescue workers. That was from 9/11. And that really helped her incredibly. She did that about 2 years ago. She's on the mend. And she, I told her about you, and she said, other vets need to know about this. How do you reach Joyce Riley? So you have a website, phone number, whatever?
Go to GulfWarVets.com, V-E-T-S, GulfWarVets.com. And heavy metal poisoning is a huge problem right now. The speech, the ability to walk, to function, their neurological functioning is absolutely destroyed because of depleted uranium. And then when they put them on Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, it only magnifies the problem to where we have these huge numbers of people. I mean, you cannot read the Army Times or the Air Force Times right now without seeing major suicide and homicide issues there among the individuals in the military. So thank you for what you're doing. And yes, alternative health is the answer right now. Believe me, I've been through it, and I can only say that that is the only thing that helped me.
Kurt from Milwaukee sends me a quick flash blast and says that a VA vet, a self-inflicted gunshot wound, killed himself at a VA center today in Milwaukee.
You know, I need to get all of these. So if the people would email me at GulfWarVets.com, I need to get all these stories on all of these people because it's time that we go to the Department of Defense and say, okay, enough is enough. So anybody who has personal information on the names and the stories here, we need to follow up on these, and I do thank you for that information.
That's sad. Very sad. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line, Bob in Alabama. You're on with Joyce Riley. Hi, Bob.
I'm good, Bob. I was calling because I was in the Army. I got out in 2005. And when I was in, I was having a problem with my ankles, my knees. Like when I went in for a bit of feeling, I had a lockjaw. But when I got out in 2005, basically what they did, they denied me of all my benefits. Then I, you know, somebody tried to claim. So I was trying to see, was it too late to claim them? That was my question. And I think my
All right, very good. Too late.
What did he say? I couldn't hear.
Too late to
well.
Claim his benefits for all of the afflictions that he apparently got after he came back.
Well, go to the VA and talk with them, or go to the any of the service organizations and attempt to try and get, you know, your disability. I cannot tell you if it's too late or not, but I would certainly encourage you to go forward. But don't mention Gulf War illness, because that will automatically get you removed from disability claims.
It will?
Yes. There's no such thing, according to the Department of Defense, as Gulf War illness.
Oh,
therefore, if you mention that, then you're delusional, and you will be ruled delusional, and you will not be given any compensation.
Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible. And you know what?
These men and women put their
years on this program with you and in St. Louis. Either I am lying, or the Department of Defense is lying.
You're not
and
lying,
one of us
Joyce.
Needs to be stopped.
You're not lying. I wouldn't be talking to you if you were.
I know,
you know
but one of us needs to be stopped, and that means the Department of Defense needs to be addressed directly as to why and what they think they are doing by utilizing our military for experimental guinea pigs and then putting them in harm's way, bringing them back, and letting them flap in the breeze, kill their families, kill themselves, and then saying, gee, we just can't figure it out.
Are other nations doing this to their soldiers?
Well, as you know, we have very few in the coalition of the willing. You know, what do we have? Four Norwegians right now with us in the coalition of the willing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got nobody in the war with us. I will tell you this much. The UK, and I am looking at the UK troops also, are having the very same problems. The homicides and suicide rates among their men are off the scale. But it's not enough until everybody sees this that they're going to be forced to having to admit it. But see, you know, they're admitting it. They're saying, gee, the suicide rates are so high. You know, we're having 100 a week now, or 100 a month is what they want you to believe. It's more like 100 a week suicides. When they're going to be held accountable for this, I don't know. But it's going to take us, the people, to say, Department of Defense, you know it, and you've been allowing them to go through these programs and take these drugs that only make it worse, and they end up killing their families, and they sit on death row, and one's already been executed, for, and he doesn't even remember the crime.
And it's not a defense for a crime. We're talking about men and women who served, now have neurological damage. They're being placed on drugs that will increase the likelihood that they will kill somebody.
My publisher flew into Los Angeles last week, and we got together for a little lunch, and he said, hey, I'm going to ask you for a favor. And I said, what do you want? He said, I'm donating a lot of your books to the VA centers in San Antonio, where there are a lot of troops there who have come back and they have been maimed. Some of them don't even have faces anymore, Joyce. And he said, what are the chances of you signing the books? And I said, no problem. And,
wow.
And then he said, what are the chances of you coming to San Antonio personally? And I said, I'll do it. You just tell me when. And he said that these guys and women are so determined, love America, yet they have risked their lives, of course, and they've come back, you know, with one arm, one leg, nose blown off. It's sad. It really is. And nobody's there to care for them. Nobody.
You're absolutely right. I think that's commendable for you to do that, and that will really do their spirit so much good, and I thank you for doing that. And I thank you for just having this subject on the air right now, because every parent or every spouse or every grandparent or child of Operation Enduring Freedom or Iraqi Freedom needs to hear this story, because they're going to be coming back with either depleted uranium poisoning or placed on these drugs. Because after the first Gulf War, as we know, George, 70 to 80% of the troops were either placed on or offered Prozac from the Veterans Affairs Department. And these people are not going to be helped. They're going to be kicked aside and cast to the curb. And we've got to stop it and be aware that they're going to have problems that need to be dealt with, or we're going to have more homicides and suicides.
Paul in Pennsylvania, you're on with Joyce Riley on Coast to Coast. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? I have a quick question here.
Sure.
And it's kind of more of a comment. I spent some years in the Army, and we were told before we went over to Kuwait, we were in Kuwait for about a year, almost a year, and before we left to go over to Kuwait, the year leading up before we went to Kuwait, they gave us a series of anthrax shots. We got three, and we're supposed to get like a shot every other month leading up to going to Kuwait. But I wound up getting out before I got, you know, all the shots. I got three total. And I was wondering, like, whatever happened with that whole giving the troops the anthrax shots, and did you get any results of what happened to any troops taking the anthrax shots? Because even myself, I know it's my own personality. When I first went into the military, before I went in right after high school, and I was more upbeat and had a more uplifting attitude about life. And it seemed like after I came out of the military, all that seemed to have changed. And I'm wondering if that had any correlation with the anthrax shots.
Well, Paul, I can't answer that question, but I can tell you this, that a number of experimental vaccines were used. Maybe you were told it was vaccine, anthrax vaccine, and maybe not. There is a book called Vaccine A that is incredibly important for people to read that have been in the military. It is a book that has sort of been, well, it's been sort of hidden from people, but if you look in the look at Amazon, Vaccine A. There's another issue that is the accumulation of experiments or the cumulative number of vaccines that were given. I became extremely ill as a result of taking 10 vaccines in one day. So yes, to the answer of the vaccine issue, because anthrax vaccine contained squalene. That's another whole issue. But if you go to GulfWarVets.com, you can see the information on that.
Next up, Ed in Nevada, your turn, Ed. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm a therapist on the outside, and I'm a Gulf War veteran, and I'm also providing treatment for veterans from both Gulf War and Iraqi Freedom. And, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I think you're dangerous, because there are a lot of people right now who are getting much benefit out of the variety of antidepressants and a variety of other psychotropic drugs that they need to help them function. Yes, sometimes there is a holistic and a natural approach. It depends on what's going on. You're talking about people who are in situations where their cortisol levels were extremely high, dopamine levels extremely high. I don't disagree with the fact that some of them may have been exposed to some chemicals that may have caused them some problems. But this generalized statement, this generalized sweeping statement about antipsychotics, yes, there are a variety of medications that could potentially precipitate suicide in some people, but not everybody. And everybody I've worked with while I was both in the military and out of the military are extremely judicious in what they're doing. I think what you're doing is extremely dangerous.
But I think, Ed,
I support the fact that, yes, there are people who, there are truly on record people who may be in a post-traumatic flashback, may not remember what the heck they're doing and commit a homicide act. Is that their responsibility? No.
Well, Ed, let me ask you this. If you were prescribing this drug we're talking about tonight, Xiantex, and you were not told...
Which drug?
It's how do you pronounce it, Joyce? Chiantex?
C-H-I-A-N-T-I.
Chiantex. Chiantex. I have patients who are bipolar.
Okay.
And they're not prescribed Chiantex.
Well, hold on.
Hold it. The doctor tells them, you can't have this drug, because if you have this drug, it's going to cause you mood shifts.
Not according to this
bipolar disorder.
Not according to this VA story we're talking about. The FDA warned of the possible side effects of suicidal feelings 3 months.
I heard the same argument this morning on a radio show with, what's his name, the comedian. I don't know.
Well, but my point is 3 months before, the VA didn't...
The VA is a terribly slow, torturously slow, bureaucratic organization, just like any other governmental organization. I am not fending for the VA because I've fought with the VA many times for my VA benefits. But I am telling you something you have to realize that a lot of people don't accept. I've been in the Army for 22 years. Even the Army is radically slow.
But it doesn't make it right.
Slow.
Ed,
no, I never
it doesn't
said it
make
makes
it, right.
it right.
Okay, so
but it doesn't mean there's some kind of cabal that's going on that's designed to decimate our veterans. People are terribly operating too damn slow because it's a sporadic.
All right, let's let her react to what you said, Ed.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Here's my concern. These troops are not getting talk therapy. They are getting drugs alone. They are not being followed up. They are getting packs and packs of these drugs in the mail with no follow-up whatsoever. Now, maybe you follow your patients. That's wonderful. But the VA is not. And so when these people stop taking these drugs and they stop taking an SSRI drug, you know as well as I do if you're a therapist what happens. That's when they go ballistic, and that's when they tend to kill their families or themselves. I am not dangerous. I am simply saying the information that people need to know when they're taking these drugs, such as the fact that Chantix does cause increased suicide. People should be allowed to know this. The Nuremberg Code was put there for a reason. We do not experiment on people without their consent. That's just the way it is in this country. But unfortunately, they have violated that, and it's costing our veterans' lives and their families' lives.
And, you know, and I applaud Ed's work at what he's doing. Sounds like we need more people like that who at least care enough to do what they're doing. Joyce, you only have about a minute or so left, and I wanted to wrap this up with your thoughts on the presidential potential candidates, McCain, of course, and Obama. What do you think?
Well, all I can say is I wish that Ron Paul was still in the race. I mean, Ron Paul is the only person who really talked the issues. I think that Obama and McCain are just more of the same system, the Republicrats or the Demopublicans, which are part of the global elite party, sub-party A or sub-party B. I don't think that it's going to make any difference whatsoever. So I don't foresee that if this country does anything other than have someone such as Ron Paul to get us out of the financial situation that we're in right now, that I don't think this country has a whole lot of hope right now.
What would you do if McCain said to Ron Paul, who's a Republican, I want you to be my VP running mate? I don't think he will, but that would make that an interesting ticket, wouldn't it?
Well, he addressed that on television the other day on CNN, and he said that I would not do it because if he goes into war with Iran, I would have to resign. So I think that the man is really principled, and I've met with him several times personally, and I had breakfast with him about 3 years ago, and I asked him to run for president, and he said, Joyce, you have no idea what it does to your life. He said, the only reason I would run for president, this is 3 years ago, is if I thought it was the last chance for this country.
Joyce, you take care of yourself. Say hi to David for me.
Thank you so much, and we salute you for doing what you're doing. Thank you.
ThePowerHour.com. I'll be back in a moment. Lee Frank joins us as we go into a classic coast-to-coast mode in just a moment.